cliffcentral.com.
That's Majid Jordan with Forever. I like it, though. It's a happy song. Nice for a Monday morning. Nice for spring. It is the 5th of September. How exciting is this? Okay, so there's lots of news to get stuck into. We'll do that in a moment or two. You can call us on 0861-555-189. What's the most important story today, Mavs?
Oh, okay. Currently, Christopher Panayotu and co. will be getting ready to present themselves in the Port Elizabeth High Court.
That's the guy who killed his wife, the teacher. He employed two dudes to take her away and kill her.
Exactly,
they
Gareth.
They ratted on him. Now they're all up for murder.
Yes, it's Christopher Panayotu and three co-accused. One of the co-accused, Luthando Sione. Mm-hmm. He used to work for Panayotu as his bouncer. And he is the guy that Panayotu basically approached and said, listen, organize a hitman for us so we can take care of this thing.
Oy.
Now, Sione has since turned state witness. And so charges against him have since been withdrawn. But Panayotu and three others are going to be back in the Pretoria High Court today. One of the other accused, Sizwe Zaike Vumazonke. Vumazonke appeared to be ill the last time that he was in court. Apparently,
that's a good name.
Struggling.
Say that again.
Sizwe Zaike Vumazonke.
Sizwe Zaike.
Sizwe Zaike.
Sizwezake Vumazonke.
So,
it's a hell of a name.
Vumazonke appeared to be ill the last time that they appeared in court. Apparently, he was struggling to walk up the stairs. So, there's, you know, some concern over his health. But yes, all of them are going to be back in court this morning, Gareth. And then over the weekend, the Zimbabwean president, President Robert Mugabe, basically President Robert Mugabe wants you to know that he is right, always.
and he scoffs at these rumors that he's dead.
Well, he's not. He's not dead. He's never going to die. So President Mugabe basically wants you to know that he is right, always, and that we are always wrong, okay? The Zimbabwean president accused high court judges of being reckless in allowing anti-government protests to take place. These protests have, of course, escalated since the This Flag movement began. Now, last week, Thursday, Zimbabwe outlawed all demonstrations for 2 weeks in the capital, Harare. But protests have escalated against the handling of the economy, against cash shortages, rather. And there's also this issue of high unemployment. So a lot of people in Zimbabwe find themselves without a job, without, you know, being able to bring money in. And, of course, that's going to lead to tensions in the area. I don't know how you just ban people from protesting at the height of them feeling hopeless.
You know, that whole thing with Robert Mugabe, just to go back to that for a second. This guy is just, he's unbelievable, right? I mean, he's in his 90s. He's still running the country. And here is a scene from The Dark Crystal, which is one of my favorite movies when I was a kid. It was where Jim Henson made these terribly scary creatures called the Skeksis. And the emperor is lying in the bed and he's like on his last legs. And the others gather around the bed and they think he's dead. So the one guy reaches for the scepter and then the emperor wakes up and he says, I'm not dead. And that's kind of how Robert Mugabe is going at the moment. Listen to this quickly. These scary things, all right, Mats. And they all go to the bedside.
He's not dead yet, my Lord
Chamberlain. This is Robert Mugabe there. Right. Hail. Right. And the one tries to grab the scepter. That's Robert Mugabe.
I am still emperor.
That's what we're going to hear right at the end. I'm telling you, that's how it's going to go down.
Yeah, look, that's a very rare recording of what came out of the president of Zimbabwe's home recently. But yeah, some political activists have approached the high courts in Zimbabwe to challenge this ban that says that they're not allowed to protest.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying that, for one thing, it's unconstitutional. But the president doesn't care. His response over the weekend was, enough is enough. And he is no longer going to allow violent protests to continue.
Well, basically, not even violent protests, just anything against him. Like, he doesn't want anyone doing anything that he doesn't like. No. That's the rule.
Shame, shame.
He does not want to be inconvenienced by his people.
Right. Don't give me that.
How dare you?
I am still emperor.
That's his message to the poor. Get on with your horrible lives and leave me alone to run this place. I know what I'm doing. I'm the emperor. Right?
I am always right and you are always wrong.
Stupid people of Zim. How dare you? How dare you stand up to the guy you voted for once? Don't you know he got tenure for life? And by life, he means a long life. He's not going anywhere. Supernova says, hey, G, I did the maths. 5 songs of 4.5 minutes per song in the first hour of 20 to 25 minutes of lost conversation. You are stealing from us, Gareth.
Uh-oh.
We want to have an AGM to talk about. Well, there are 4 songs an hour, not 5. So you can already subtract 3 minutes. And each song, remember, a song is usually about 2.5 to 3 minutes. I know this from radio, years and years of radio. So it's actually...
You sound like Donald Trump. I know what I'm talking about.
I've heard. I've been reading the National Enquirer. Crooked Hillary doesn't know how long a song is. I'll tell you how long a song is. Anyway, I think you're getting better quality stuff out of us anyway, because we can pack more in now. By the way, Fat Joe says he'll talk to us in about 10 minutes' time about what happened there. East Coast Radio. The point is, like Mubs said to me earlier, and it's true, like with Joe, you never know. Because the guy, he pulls these pranks where he says he's resigned and then he hasn't. This one seems for real, though.
Okay, because he resigned before from East Coast.
Yeah, exactly. And that was a hoax.
That was within days of the announcement being made that he had joined.
Joe's still pulling those tricks we used to pull in the 90s and the 2000s on radio. I'm going to resign, everybody. No, Joe, don't resign. No, I'm really going to. I'm out of here. Bye-bye. I'm finished. I'm switching off my microphone for the last time. That's what people were doing back then. And if he's pulling one of those, I swear I will get medieval on him. Don't mess with our feelings. Not that I care. I mean, I haven't listened to East Coast Radio very much. When I'm in Durban, I like to check in on what's going on. When I'm in Cape Town, I like to check in on what's going on radio. And so far, no surprises. Nothing new. It's like a time warp. Nothing's happening there. Doesn't excite me in the least. I mentioned that I was down in Durban and some interesting things happened. I went out with my sister and her boyfriend on Saturday night. We went to a restaurant. We had this waiter. The guy was... like from a different planet.
In what way?
He comes up to the table. He goes, all right, listen, I suppose I better tell you about these specials, but I'm not really, I'm a bit rusty, and I just kind of was on holiday, and so let me try.
Okay.
And then he keeps talking. He just didn't know what his plan was. He didn't have any plan at all. So we're kind of filling in the gaps for him, and luckily we didn't care about the specials. So we said to him, look, dude, don't panic. We've already decided what we want, and then we order. And he's like, yeah, like, are you sure you don't want this? I'm like, no, we've decided. This is what we want. It's okay. Bring that stuff. But the guy was like, it was almost as if he was sort of half there and half not. He was very good. Don't get me wrong. He didn't make any mistakes. But you could tell he was not focused on the job. And it was just funny to see him operate.
He was winging it that day.
Totally winging it. I wonder how many people get to their jobs today, right now, this morning. How many people are off to work today and they're just kind of winging it? They're not sure of what they have to do here.
No.
Like, it could be very different to what it's going to turn out to be. Those people who pitch up and they sit at their desk and you've got a computer in front of you or you've got a pen and a piece of paper and you're like, what shall I do today? I actually don't know what to do. There are a lot of people like that.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think that the whole problem with the world is that there are too many people who get to work and don't know what their work actually is. I'm not even making this up. You know what I mean.
Of course, but every time I think of the specials, I'd love to know the stats. The amount of people who actually listen to the specials, because everyone just nods politely.
Yeah,
I'm going to go for the burger. It's like
they've already decided.
Waiters must think that it's the worst speech in the entire history of being a waiter.
I've got to be frank. I don't really care about the specials ever. I'm not that interested. Never. What they're trying to do with the specials is they're trying to get rid of stuff that they it's going to expire soon. So don't be interested in the specials. Nobody cares about that stuff.
You know what I quite like asking? What's the chef's dish? Because if I'm eating at this restaurant, I want to know what that chef makes the best.
Flex, again, they're going to try to get rid of all the stuff that's about to expire. They're going to try and get rid of what they've got too much stock of. So they're going to tell you, this is the best meal. It's not. The chef doesn't... And they're never going to give you a complicated dish as the chef's meal or the special because... That's going to take them longer to prepare. Maybe they don't have the ingredients. Maybe there's something going on in the kitchen. They're going to tell you what they want to sell.
I thought the chef's dish is the dish that the chef is the best at making out of all the dishes on the menu. So it's like it's going to taste the best. He puts the most love in because he loves that dish.
No, they want to get rid of that stock.
And they want you to spend. I mean, this is all it's about. It's about you spending money. So they're going to do everything in their power to get you to spend the most.
Restaurants, I hate to break it to you, but a lot of chefs and restaurants don't actually care about you.
No, that's not true. No,
yes,
I went to a restaurant over the weekend to celebrate my 1 year.
And 1 year of what?
With my girlfriend.
Oh, you guys are going to... Oh, well done. Congrats. A one-year anniversary. Yeah. Oh, very nice. Look at this.
It's today.
It's working with you and Liz.
So we went to a fancy, fancy restaurant.
You remember what a maniac you were before you met her?
I know. I was like a raging bull.
Yeah. You were a disaster zone. I'm very proud of you, Flax. This is good going. This is excellent stuff that you two are still together. I like it. It's improved you as a human being.
I know. I've changed. I've also grown a bit.
Yeah, you have. A bit.
So, I was at this fancy, fancy restaurant. I wore like a suit, tie, everything.
Mm-hmm.
I go into the restaurant. Hello, Mr. Flax. How's your evening going?
No,
I'm
really.
Like, what?
Wow.
Greeting me by first names. I sit down. They're like, are you celebrating anything
Well, give them
special?
A plug. What restaurant is this?
You paid
for your meal.
The Oyster Box.
Oh, wow. In Durban.
Yeah.
Oh, you were down in Durban too?
Yeah, I went down to Durban to celebrate it.
I'm so glad you didn't phone me.
My friend said they saw you out on a Friday night in the Village.
Yeah, I was.
It's a cool place to go.
Yeah, it is.
I've only
nice.
Been there once, but I like it. I prefer it to like clubbing
Thank
bars.
You for leaving me alone.
Okay, so as I was saying,
yes.
I went to the restaurant. They greeted me by name.
Yes.
Every time they brought the food, they would say something like, I hope this is to your satisfaction, Mr. Flax.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, yes, sir, it is indeed. All the meals they brought me, they'd put this like stuff over and then they'd light it up.
Yeah!
So my dish would be in flames for like a minute.
Mm-hmm.
It was very cool. And then they brought me like a cake with like happy anniversary written on it. They left me alone, so every 5 minutes they weren't harassing me, like, can I get you this? Do you want a refill of this?
That's
so,
annoying.
Like, he'd just come there and he'd, like, fill up my wine glass and he'd go, Mr. Flax, you deserve this. And that best experience ever.
That sounds awkward.
Do the little thing! Boom!
Well, that's cool, Flax. I'm just very proud of you that you've been in this relationship for a year and you've grown and matured and you... treating Liz with respect and she loves you and like you're obviously doing things right and now you've gone out to celebrate properly.
I've moved out of my house.
Yeah, decent meal. You moved out, you're living with her. Big things are happening. This is the evolution of Michael Flax before our very eyes.
The evolution.
Yeah, you were an animal before this.
I was.
Total maniac. You were going out every night and getting drunk. You were worrying too much about what other people thought of you. Now you've got a good woman in your life. Look at how much better you are as a human being.
They say, what's that saying? Behind every good man is a woman.
That's right. It's an old, stupid
saying.
Something like that. It sounds very patronizing because it assumes that, you know, that the woman is the secret ingredient or that her whole role is to just support a man.
Just to be at home, yeah.
Yeah, but let's suspend disbelief for a minute and take the best part of that and use it.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Well done. And Liz still, she still likes you.
I think so. I hope so.
She hasn't fallen out of love with you yet.
No, not yet.
That's good. Yeah, you two get regular action from each other?
I'm not answering that.
Come on.
Not answering that.
Tell us.
Not answering that.
How many times a week?
Zero.
That lies.
I'm a priest, actually.
Oh, please.
I'm practicing priest.
Your mother's not listening. Come on.
Nah.
What are you worrying about?
I I'm keeping all that private.
All right. Yeah, I want to get Liz in here. She'll tell me the truth.
One day. At the moment, she's off limits.
Lies. She told us that she's very keen to come and talk.
I know.
She'll open up. She's not like you.
I'm scared what she'll say.
No, you bring her in here. I think people want to know. People are interested in your life.
Next minute, she's telling about my bedtime routine and...
That's fine.
In fact, I moisturize before I go to sleep.
That's good, though. That's good. I don't think there's a... Is that embarrassing? Do you find that embarrassing?
I don't know. I never used to have to moisturize until I got a girlfriend.
Listen, if you get into the bed nice and soft instead of all scaly like a reptile, that's probably a good thing. She doesn't want to lie next to a reptile. All right, enough of that. Thank you, Flax. We'll give you a rest for the morning. Supernova says, Gareth, I can't remember when last I was at a restaurant. Prices are just too high. That's true. Geez, it's insane. My wife is taking me, says Roscoe, to a VIP chef experience for my birthday at the end of the month. So apparently, as far as I know, there's a chef's table in the kitchen, and the chef sends his underlings to present what they made to us, and then we get to ask them 5 questions. 5 courses. Can't wait. Any suggestions of what I can ask? I know jack shit about fancy cuisine. Well, Roscoe, just enjoy it. Go along for the ride.
Yeah. Something different?
No. I wouldn't know how to advise anybody about that stuff.
What does he mean in the chef's kitchen, though? Physically in the actual kitchen?
I don't know. Maybe they sit in the kitchen. I wouldn't want to do that. I don't want to know what preparation. That's why I don't like cooking shows. I don't want to see what happens before it gets to the plate in front of me. Let it be a mystery to me. Makes me happy.
As far as I'm aware, chef's kitchen is a private table. Yeah. Where, like, you get one-on-one with the chef. He'll come explain the dish to you.
Yeah, I don't want to meet the chef either. I mean, all that I need is for the guy to pitch up and he's got dirty fingernails or something. I don't need to meet the... I'm sure it's fine. Just bring me the plate. I'm not into that stuff. Vaughn says, I'm having one of those days. It's more about not giving a damn about work. Sigh, it's so early in the week. Vaughn in Abu Dhabi. And then Jonathan Witt, who's a doctor, says, I'm totally winging it today. So if you're in for surgery today...
Aye. Yeah. Doctors are not allowed to wing it when I'm Dr. Witt.
So just look
out. No, no.
Look out! It's going to go very badly for you if you are at the hospital today.
That is frightening.
Dr. Witt is your doctor. And then Carla van der Vesthuizen says, Gareth, do us all a favor with Fikile. No wuss out like you usually do when they're politicians or spokespeople from the presidency being interviewed. Give him more of the Gareth interviewing Steve Hofmeyer. You know, Carla, I have to say, if you persist with giving me advice about how to do radio, which I've done for 20 years, I'm going to have to find out what it is you do and start advising you about how to do that. Which I'm sure I have no idea of how it works. Just leave it to me. And by the way, I'm trying to smooth over relations here with Fikile. It was January of this year that I was called all kinds of things on Twitter, among other things by this minister. And we've only just started to mend our fences here. And I don't need to set fire to the guy. But don't think that I'm not going to ask him important questions. In fact, Ben has given me a list of things that I need to discuss with the minister. So just chill. Why don't you listen and then figure it out with me rather than prejudge the whole thing? Because otherwise there's no point in you listening. You can just say what you think is going to happen and we'll leave it at that. All right? Everybody have a good start to the week. Don't start giving me shit if you don't mind.
As Jimmy Carr would say, I don't come down to the docks and knock sailors' cocks out your mouth and tell you how to do it.
All right, let's go to Fat Joe. This is one of my friends in broadcasting. He's one of the few people in broadcasting who really does get into trouble a lot because he stands up for himself. He doesn't take nonsense. He has had unbelievable controversies in his career, but he's also had tremendous successes. It is Fat Joe. Good morning to you. How are you, big guy?
What's up, G?
Yeah, you're right, good, man. What is going on with you? Are you for real about this resignation, or is this one of these Fat Joe, antics?
No, you know, they begged me to stay. They saw the value that I was bringing, and they decided, you know what, let's stop giving this guy a bit of grief. Let's welcome him. Let's roll out the welcome mat.
Mm-hmm.
As I understand it, they're busy preparing a parade. And giving me a key to the city.
All right, put away all the shtick for a second, because I never know with you. Fat Joe says he resigned from East Coast Radio. This is a very strange match for you, anyway. I mean, I don't see you on a station that prides itself on playing the best of the 80s and 90s and today. And I listened to their playlist over the weekend because I was in Durban, and I heard a promo. Right. I heard a promo of yours, and right. I thought, well, you know, when I heard on Sunday you'd resigned, I thought, well, if they're playing those promos, either he's pulling the wool over our eyes and he's actually going back to work today and this is all a publicity stunt, or you've resigned but they don't know how to manage themselves because they're still playing your promos and there's nobody in charge of that that operation. So what's happening?
No, look, man, we were just having a bit of fun, Garrett, to be honest with you. We were just having a bit of fun. This is the first time I'm saying this. The reality is when you move into a slot where, you know, you've got a 20-year veteran of the station, you're going to ruffle some feathers whether you try and be nice or not. So the reality is we really tried to give the naysayers, if you will, a chance to have it. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes when there's negative energy, you have to exhaust it and let it die down before you can start to build a new show. And that's really what happened. That's the truth.
Okay, so you're still on the show.
Yeah, still on the show.
All right. Then you got to stop pulling these antics with us, because now we're starting to get wise to your tricks, Joe. Come on.
I've been doing it for decades, and people but still fall for it.
But, Joe, that's the problem. It's like, this is what they were doing in the 90s on radio to get attention. Come on, man. I know you're funnier and cleverer than that. Is this management's idea? Tell me the truth.
No. Well, yeah, look, yes and
oh,
no.
Yes
and no.
Yes and no. Oh, Joe.
Yes and no.
I was going to offer
it this way.
I was going to offer you a job and a chance to do the stuff that I love about you, the stuff that you used to do on that TV show of yours, the stuff you were doing on Why, the stuff you know, I loved that stuff. You were such a maverick, man.
Yeah, we're going to work together. Don't worry. Sooner than you think. Trust
I hope
me.
So.
All doors are wide open. Trust me.
Brother, I love you, and I just can't bear to hear you on some 80s and 90s radio stuff. Really, the only person on that channel that belongs there is like is someone like Darren Scott. I mean, it just seems weird to me that you can't make them cool because you're cool. You can't pull them up to your level.
Well, I mean, you know, it's kind of like the problem we have in this country. Unlike the States, where there's like thousands of radio stations, we don't have many places to go. And unfortunately, the gatekeepers or the owners of these platforms aren't always the smartest individuals. If you've had that experience, you know. So what happens is, if you want to exercise, it's like being a comic.
Yeah.
You need a stage
right.
to ply your trade.
Right.
So what happens is, invariably, you end up. I've worked on so many different stations, and it's not because I wanted to move around. It's just that that's where the opportunities were. And in a lot of instances, people don't realize. They think that I got fired a lot. I left a lot.
Yeah.
I've only been ever fired once.
Let me tell you something. I don't want to cause trouble for you. That's not why I got you on this morning. You know I love what you do. You're one of the few people in radio I do have time and respect for. And I do think that you are still one of the coolest people in the business. Now, it just
Thank
strikes
you.
Me. It really does. It's the most incredible stuff. When you are on your best, on your wicket, when you're just playing like full all pistons firing, you are unstoppable. And I remember I met you for the first time when I was on your TV show with Fresh all those years ago,
right?
And we tied you up and we gagged you and
seen that like a few months ago.
Yeah, we took over the show, and I mean, you were such a master that even though you had this tape over your mouth and you couldn't say anything, you were still in charge of the show. You've got a depth of experience, and you've pissed off a lot of people in the industry, which I think is necessary if you're going to be a maverick. But I don't know whether this is like I don't know. I just get the feeling like Joe is you're unstoppable, and this is kind of like a handbrake on your accelerator.
I don't think so, guys. Like. When we sit down, I'll explain to you exactly what the thinking is.
No.
But overall, this is not like I'm not like parking off in some one horse town. I'm actually, this is part of a bigger, grander scheme of other things that I'm working on as well. As it is right now, I'm like traveling all across the country almost every week.
Mm-hmm.
And then the content is also something, and there's some major, major things which you are aware of that I've spoken to you about that I've been working on for all these years.
Absolutely.
That are still on the move, and those things are much bigger than any one town or city.
All right, so tell me, how does it work? You aren't in Durban to do this show. You do it from what, from Joburg?
I do it from Joburg. There's a studio in Jack.
Right, at Jacaranda.
And then in Durban, obviously. Yeah,
that's in Midrand. So you're doing Midrand, the show to Durban from Midrand.
No, I'm explaining. I do it when I'm in Joburg. I do it from there.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm in Cape Town, I'm in my house, and then when I'm in Durban, I'm at the studios in Kalinga.
Do you have a studio set up at your house?
Yeah, I do.
Oh wow!
Wow,
what does that look like?
It's real simple, man. I'll show you. I'll take some pictures, but it's effective. It works. As a matter of fact, I can broadcast from anywhere, any hotel room, any resort, you name it.
Beautiful. Well, that sounds like you've actually got it all figured out then. I mean, this
is... Yeah, exactly.
And are they paying you really good money to do this?
I would say, yeah.
Good.
I think they definitely broke their back to get me there, definitely.
All right, well then, you know what? Then no explanation required. Then I'm totally on your side. Right. I get it.
And, look, Gareth, we're trying to build something. I respect what you're doing because you're trying to build something and change the landscape. And you know what? Sometimes it takes a little bit of time, but it will change. And the right people will end up with the assets. And then we'll see an unleashing and an opening up of the airwaves, if you will.
Right. Well, Touch and I were talking over the weekend. We were thinking, maybe we should talk to you.
Listen. I've already spoken to Touch. We're definitely going to work together. I've always been an avid admirer of what you guys are doing that side. You have an idea of what I'm also working on. So
I know.
Trust me, we will be working together.
All right. Just don't let them make you play Tanita Tikaram and, you know, like Eurythmics and stuff from the 80s and 90s. I mean, it's embarrassing. Come on.
No, they're not that bad. But aside from that, G, you have to remember that guys like me and you don't care about the music. We go on and do our thing. I don't even listen to, like, I just do what I do. If I could reduce it to one song an hour, that'd be great.
I love you, man.
The music never matters.
I love you. Listen, next time you're around, come and sit down with us. I'll go on your show when you want me to as well. You just let me know.
All right, cool.
All right, bro.
Take it easy.
No worries. I might say some things that they don't like, but I mean, you have me on anytime you want.
Dude, you say what you want to say.
Well, that's what you do. Let's make it happen.
Yeah.
All right, brother.
All right. Later.
Thanks, my man. There we go. There's Fat Joe, everybody. He's he there's no bones about it. He's doing this for the money. He's,
you know? It takes me back to when the boy cried wolf. So
yeah, she said to me just now. She's like, I don't think Joe's really resigned. And it turns out that's exactly what's happened. That old trick from 2001 played over again. But listen, I do like the guy. I see why he's doing this. You got to understand before you start pointing fingers, because I know a lot of our audience are kind of, you know, they're wise to this stuff. But you got to understand there isn't a lot of radio work out there, and I suppose you got to take what you can get. And there's Joe trying to make a living. He's got bills to pay, right? Mouths to feed.
Oh, we all do.
Things to do. All right, when we come back in a moment, we'll check in on the news headlines just after 7:30. It is touchcentral.fm, cliffcentral.com. Good morning, sexy people.
Baby, this is what you came for. Lightning strikes every time she moves.
Sing it, baby.
Baby, this is what you came for. Lightning strikes every time she moves.
Sing it, come on. Here we go. I don't know what Joe's talking about. I like the music. I care about it. I'm just useless at choosing it. Get someone who can. Yeah, baby, it's Rihanna with Calvin Harris, and this is what you came for. Remember I mentioned earlier when we played the Sia song that there was a Rihanna story?
Yes.
So it turns out that that song, Cheap Thrills...
By Sia.
Sia, right. Sia wrote Diamonds in the Sky.
Yes.
For Rihanna, and it was a massive, massive hit for her. And she wrote Cheap Thrills, and she offered it to Rihanna.
Again.
Again. Okay. And Rihanna said, no thanks, I'll pass on that.
See, this is why Sia covers her face, because Sia is Rihanna, who's interchangeable with all these other people.
Well, it turns out Sia was driving around listening to Cheap Thrills because she couldn't understand why Rihanna didn't like it. She's like, I'm sure this is a good song. Mm. And it bothered her. So she listened to it over and over again, and she said she felt a bit douchey doing that because, you know, who drives around listening to their own songs? And then she listened to it for the 200th time, and she was like, well, fuck it, if Rihanna's not going to do it, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And she recorded it herself. It's gone on to be a breakout hit for her. And you know, she's obviously had bigger hits before this, but this song has been on the charts for like 20 weeks or something.
Endless.
It's killing. And I wonder, like, Rihanna's just a singer. She doesn't write her own music.
Mm-mm.
She missed out on a big golden egg right there.
I know, but I mean, how many hits has Rihanna had?
Because no, that's
she's
true.
Had... I mean,
but I mean, listen, if Sia came to me with anything, I'd say, yes, please. You know, take it with both hands. I think that was a dumb move, Rihanna.
She'll be okay, trust me.
I'm just saying.
She'll be fine.
Dumb move, honey.
Sitting in bed right now crying, eating ice cream. Yeah.
That Cheap Thrills is like that's the song for summer in the U.S. It's been on the charts for weeks. Dummy. All right, listen, let's get into some news. What is making the news this morning? Well, it's brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria, the greatest place to get a pizza, the greatest place to get any number of the most sexy, gorgeous, terrific-tasting salads you will find anywhere on planet Earth. And I'm not the only one who says so, right, Ben? You agree.
Oh, yeah. That San Siro salad is probably the greatest thing you can put in your mouth.
Right. No one's paying Ben to say that, by the way. He's saying that of his own volition. Just in case, because there's some people who think that that this stuff isn't true.
Nope.
That is a killer salad. And you know what? I want to lose this fat belly of mine. You better believe I'm going to be heading to Colcacchio's for those salads. That stuff's good for you. You can't get fat on that. Even when I eat their pizzas, I feel like it's good for me. Because that thin crust, because the crust's the problem, right?
Well,
cheese as well.
It's just quantity as well. You know,
they make completely vegan ones.
Yeah, gluten-free.
Gluten-free. Every kind you could possibly want. All right, let's get into some news. This is brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. Mubs, what do we have? That's the news music. What's important? What do we need to know?
Well, the Helen Suzman Foundation, as well as Freedom Under Law, have now given the Hawks and the NPA until midday today to give an undertaking not to arrest Finance Minister Pravin Gordhan. Both these lobby groups say that they're prepared to go to court if the Hawks and the NPA do not commit to an undertaking.
Well,
they want the finance minister to be given at least 20 days notice if he is going to be criminally charged, you know, so that he can approach the courts for an interdict.
Everybody's saying that if the Hawks actually did get this taken to court, they'd be in huge trouble.
From who?
Because they'd lose so badly. The judge would basically tell them that they were children and they should go back to school and learn how the law works. Because it's that bad and that thin a case. I'd love to see it happen. All the constitutional law experts are saying, there's nothing here. You can look at it from every angle. There's nothing here. You guys are going to look stupid if you do this. What else?
Well, you'd love to see it happen, but the question is, at what cost to the economy, because it's that delicate rand that everybody seems to be worried about, right? Mm-hmm. If the finance minister is forced to face charges,
right,
we don't know how that's going to impact our pockets. Mm-hmm. All right, protesters gathered on Sunday outside convicted rapist Brock Turner's Ohio home.
Who's this guy?
This is the guy who attended Stanford University. He was some or other great singer. Basically, he assaulted an unconscious woman on campus, right?
Right.
He has been found guilty of three felonies, a assault with intent to commit rape of an intoxicated person, sexually penetrating an intoxicated person with a foreign object, as well as sexually penetrating an unconscious person with a foreign object. Basically, he went behind bars for 3 bars, and then the judge decided, no, you're good to go. And people are very upset about the fact that he only spent 3 months in jail. More importantly, protesters gathered outside his home on Sunday. Some of them even were armed, which, you know, in America...
Oh, it's a given.
It's a problem when you're armed in America.
Everyone's armed.
Because people become trigger happy, especially when emotions are running high.
Yeah.
And his neighborhood were basically saying they did not want a sex offender among them. And they're also upset that he only spent 3 months behind bars.
Jeez. What a mess.
What a mess indeed.
But they must go to the judge's house afterwards as well.
Yeah.
Because he's just the part that is the biggest problem.
It's he's the one who said,
raped someone, but, you know, he should go and experience the college experience, you know. Let's not have him in jail. It's a waste.
Judges.
I think this is also the same idiot whose father said, but he was just being a guy or something.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's the whole thing is just makes very problematic.
Douchebag.
Yeah.
All right, what else?
Well, Gareth, we've got 2 days until the Paralympics, so we need to chat to Jeff about the medal prospects.
Mm-hmm. Flax, so, have we got Jeff on the line? Let's speak to Jeff before we get to Rich Mulholland.
We all know Rio Olympics Team SA had 10 medals, so it's nice to see. You know, previously the Paralympic team's been pretty good. We've had some real standout stars. We've got a lot of medals. So interesting to see how we're going to fare now in 2016. And Jeff's got all the medal prospects for us.
Mm-hmm. All right, is he there, Flax? Otherwise, you want to tell us any other sports stuff before we go to Jeff? I think he's getting him on the line.
Okay, cool. So, you know, we're into the business end of the US Open now, right? So we're in the second week, fourth round action. So it looks like Serena may take on Venus again. They are destined for a semifinal, showing Serena's at the top. And even though she's had a shoulder injury, she's still got through. Now it's the big business, though. So she's take on Shvedova. That'll be her fourth round match.
Shvedova.
Mm-hmm. Simona Halep will take on Suarez Navarro. Radwanska's through, and she'll take on Concha. That's her name. Pulsikova will take on Venus Williams. That'll be the other one there. Madison Keys, Wozniacki. That took place yesterday. Big match. Wozniacki came through. Now, Wozniacki's been nowhere ever since Rory McIlroy broke her heart. But here she is. She's back in the quarters. And she'll take on Svetsova. Svetsova beats Muguruza. In the bottom half of the draw, we'll have Vinci versus Kerber. Vinci made the final last year. Very excited to see where she goes from here. And in the men's, we've got Tsonga. He's at the top. He'll take on whoever Djokovic beats, Edmund. So it'd be Djokovic, Tsonga in the quarterfinals.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got Puyol versus Monfils, French quarterfinal there.
Right.
And then we've got whoever beats, wins between Thiem and Del Potro. They'll take on Wawrinka or Marchenko. And then the other one there, Nishikori versus Kavlovich. And then Grigor Dimitrov and Andy Murray. So we're looking at a Nishikori Murray quarterfinal at the bottom there.
All right, Jeffrey Yates is on the line. Now, this guy was our sports reporter while Ben was away. I didn't even know you were in a wheelchair, Jeffrey.
Yeah, yes, how's it, guys?
I know that's not the most important thing about you, but it was kind of material.
Yes, and I guess it's fitting for me doing a little segment on the Paralympics, I guess, yeah.
Well, we know you're a sports fan, and the Paralympics obviously is where wheelchairs and sports come together. But there are a lot of things around these Paralympics which I think are raising a couple of eyebrows. Ben was saying to me earlier there are performance-enhancing drugs even at the Paralympics. Did you know that?
I'm aware of it. You know, I heard you say before, you know, the thing with these athletes is they take it seriously. I mean, they're in it to win it, and they also will do anything and to get to the top, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, yeah, I guess you shouldn't, but, I mean, yeah.
Well, it just shows that, you know, there is no difference between any of these athletes and the normal athletes in every single aspect. So, Jeff, who's going to be our medal prospects for the Paralympics in Rio?
Well, the two South Africans specifically that I think could go all the way is one of South Africa's greatest sporting heroes, Ernst van Dijk, or Van Dijk. He's a highly decorated Paralympian. At the age of 43, he'll be back for an incredible 7th consecutive Paralympic Games.
Wow.
His first being in Barcelona in 1992. I mean, isn't that just unbelievable?
So he's a cyclist, but basically he uses his arms, right?
Correct. He's a low amputee participant. He's got most of his trunk and his full upper body extremities. So he's in the H5 paracycling classification. And he'll also be participating in the marathon. I mean, this guy's record is just impeccable. He's He's won Boston Marathon 10 times, the New York Marathon twice. In 2008 Beijing Games, he won the gold in the hand cycling classification.
Mm-hmm.
In 2012, he won the silver in the hand cycling classification. So I think he'll go on and certainly try and claim gold in the Paris cycling.
So you're saying he's got most of his trunk. Just explain to me how this works, because I know they're different classifications. What is H5?
H5 is, the classifications. I mean, this is always an interesting topic, but... So basically, Ernst is a double entity.
Uh-huh.
So he does the hand cycling seated in an upright position.
Okay.
So he uses his trunk motion and his back muscles, along with his arm muscles to propel the bike forward. But he cranks the bicycle using his arms effectively.
Incredible.
Where the other H2 classification or H1, generally these are guys who are laying down, who have less function in their torso, so they'll only use the likes of their arms or shoulders. So the H1 classification, this is the worst or the severely affected classification.
Right.
They'll have no triceps. They'll just be using their biceps.
Wow.
To prepare the bike, propel the bike forward. So it's quite incredible.
There's so many classifications here for every different kind. Are there people without arms and legs who do things at the Paralympics?
Well, funny you should mention that, because the next gentleman who I wanted to cover is none other than Lucas Sartori. He's currently the US Open Championship. He'll be competing in the quad classification wheelchair. Now, this guy, he's a triple amputee, so he's got no use of his leg. He's got one arm that's been sort of amputated by the elbow. But you watch this guy play, and it's actually incredible.
What does he do? What does he play? What is he? Tennis?
He's a tennis superstar, yeah. This guy.
What, has he got the thing strapped to his stump? I mean, how does it work?
He actually propels using his stump and his other hand. But you watch this guy play, and it's incredible, because you have to push the wheelchair with your tennis racket in the hand.
Right.
And when you watch him serve, he'll have to now throw the ball up with the same hand. And, I mean, it's actually incredible. I mean, Mavale, you have appreciation for tennis, so you'll have an understanding of how brilliant it is to watch this guy and how effortlessly he moves around the court. It's actually incredible.
That's amazing.
He's in the quad division. He's had such a great bit of form this year, so I think we'll all be rooting for him. It'll be actually quite interesting.
All right, go Lucas. That's nice. All right.
And then, I guess those are the two guys that I wanted to mention. It'll actually be interesting to listen to Mr. Fakile Mbalula about the rugby wheelchair classification, because we've heard that we've got to sort of conform with this new transformation. But it'll actually be quite interesting to listen.
Does that include the Paralympic athletes or the athletes with disabilities, the quota system?
Absolutely. And we've had to roll out transformation at our regional level of our wheelchair rugby. So no doubt it's happening at that level as well.
I suppose disability doesn't care what color you are, right?
Yes, and we want to, I guess, conform to all the same sort of criteria. Okay. But it's just, it's a bit tough, I guess.
All right. Well, there we go. Thanks, man. Listen, we'll check in with you again.
Yes, thanks very much.
All right,
Ben,
Jeff.
Good luck for later. Thank you very much.
Cool. All right, thanks, Jeff.
Cool. I'm going to call Jeff Wheels from now on. I didn't know he was in a wheelchair. Seriously, I had no idea. So we'll check in with Wheels Yates later on this week and find out how the Paralympics are going. It's time for a rant with the Crazy Scotsman, a friend of ours, someone who always – people just love it when you come in here, because you say stuff that they've always thought but they didn't necessarily know how to articulate, or stuff that they didn't think before that they think, that makes a bit of sense, or they just hate you. It doesn't matter which of those is true. But he's here with us this morning. His name is Rich Mulholland, and I'm going to play your theme music because you like it when I bring out the bagpipes. Don't you?
Love it.
You do.
Love
All right, here he is. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Rich Mulholland.
All right, everybody. Thanks very much for having me.
All right, what are you complaining about today?
Well, so I was going to complain, but I've decided not to. Listening to old Jeff Wheels. I know.
Doesn't it make you feel like, as an able-bodied person, you're just a lazy sack of rubbish?
Exactly, a sack of shit.
Yeah.
So, first of all, though, very quickly, what was the name of the pizza place you guys were talking about?
Colcaccio Pizzeria.
So, I do want to say, it is a pet hate of mine when people say Colcaccio.
I know.
It's because Colcaccio, do you know the story?
We spoke to the owner, the guy who started it, founder.
Greg, or the other one, about it being the uppiest thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, unbelievable. And just everybody argues with me. And I say, you say, no, it's Kokakio. And they say, no, it's Kokachio. No, you're wrong. Anyway, here's the thing. So I guess if I was to rant about anything, then I have other stuff which I'll get to in future. But it would be excuses, about the excuses we give ourselves. Because you listen to what's going on there. And if there's a guy who can play tennis in a wheelchair with one limb,
right,
then you have no excuse. And I realized recently something that happened is I've been struggling, trying to lose weight, do things all kinds of different ways, and it's been a real chore. And something happened recently that I think has kind of changed me a bit. And what happened was I'd been training. I'd actually gone to my personal trainer, who's amazing, and I said to him, "Dude, I'm going to give you $30,000 for 3 months. Get me into shape." And I went every day and I trained with him. The problem was it didn't translate from me leaving the gym and working with him to actually being in better shape and to eating better. And of course, if you do the one without the other, you're screwed.
You basically are out of the starting blocks.
Yeah, exactly. And for some reason, I could never translate. I would go and I would train, and then I would come home and I'd still have a chocolate or whatever the case may be. And recently I went to this other gym and a different facility, and it was a different style of training. And the one thing that was quite weird about it is that everybody was beautiful. So everybody in this place was good looking, which I theoretically shouldn't be right, and we shouldn't have those kind of – no, we should have all types. And they certainly welcome all types. But the funny thing was, for the first time, I was standing in this room with these people, and I thought, oh, you are by far in the worst shape ever. You're literally the bottom of the barrel.
You were the ugliest, fattest person there.
In the room, without a doubt. Right. Without a doubt. That's exactly what I thought.
And that motivated you.
Right. So what I found that day is I found my give a shit. And I realized nothing matters. Nothing. No training, no diet, no anything. You don't need a better diet. I mean, it's easy. Eat less or eat smarter or be. There's any number of diets can work. What you need to do is to find your give a shit. And I think that's what most of us are struggling to find. Now, these Paralympics, they found it. They have no excuses because when you're give a shit, your gas is bigger than your excuse bank. You
right.
win.
I got you.
But for most of us, we spend the rest of our life where our excuses are stronger than our give a shit. Instead of trying to find a better way to train or a better thing, you have to find something else you care more about.
Mm-hmm.
And like I found that in this facility, I thought, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to
you
be that guy.
You found it being the ugliest, fattest person in that gym.
Exactly. And I sat there. They've actually got these mirrors that you're supposed to train in front of. And I got to a point that when I was halfway around the circuit, I couldn't face the mirror when I was training because I thought, oh, Jesus, you're so fucking ugly. Like, you just turn around. Just turn around. And I look and I see my wife next to me. I think, how can she possibly? And it was everything at that moment came together. And I realized that the training.
Finish that sentence. She couldn't possibly enjoy having sex with you.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Because you looked in the mirror and you were just disgusted with yourself.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I hear you.
Exactly. And I thought, thank you for that.
Yeah. You thought, that poor woman, she has to get on top of me. And
well, I mean, it's because if I get on top of her,
you'll kill her.
Yes, Garrison, you're just hurting me now. I'm definitely fine. I didn't have my give a shit before I came in.
Right.
I've got it now.
Oh, that poor woman. All right.
Oh, exactly. But that's my thing. And so I think that my call to action this week is very, very simple. Is stop trying to find other things. If your excuse bank is so strong and you're trying to find other ways to train and other things to stop yourself from eating, stop. Stop trying to find other ways, because as long as your excuse bank is as high as it is, you'll never make it. What you have to do is find your give a shit. Find something you care about that matters to you and work towards that.
And you know what the whole point of being alive and being a sentient being is that you have to start realizing at some point that all the bad things that are happening to you are actually within your power to change.
Right.
There are thousands of people who will blame history, circumstance, poverty, their dad not giving them enough hugs when they were little. There are million things that you could blame for all of your trouble, but none of them are true. The only things that are absolutely true is that you either have control of your destiny and you believe that you're the prime agent in your life, or you don't. And if you don't, I can't help you. But if you do believe you're the prime agent, what Rich is saying should resonate with what you already know to be true, that you have the power to change things.
No, not to turn this into a religious thing, but the one thing that I often say to people, like, even if you're religious, why you should live your life as if you aren't, as if you believe that you're the only thing, that there is no controlling force and you are a walking bag of hairy meat, then you need to realize that you're in only control. All purpose is defined by yourself.
Right.
And your own decisions. And, you know, my excuses around, I got asthma when I turned 40 and my back has got a slip disc, and I just I found that these were perfectly, I'd given myself perfectly good excuses for not doing stuff. And I'm so excited that I found my give a shit again. I'm so excited that I find something, a reason to care.
And soon your wife will be having sex with someone who's not unattractive anymore.
Right. Hopefully that's still me, though.
Well.
Play your cards right.
All right. Thank you, Rich.
Nice,
always
dude.
Good to check in with Rich Mahomet.
Thing. Yes. And I'm just checking here just while we're on the training thing, but I'm glad Ben sorted. Just while we're on the training thing, because it came to my mind. Guys, if you're wearing your gym shoes with your jeans, if you're wearing your trainers or your running shoes, the same shoes you wear when you go to gym, when you go out, I fucking hate you. Stop. Okay? Stop. I'm going to take those shoes off. I'm going to smack you with them. Look down at what you're wearing right now.
Yes.
If you're wearing shoes that are appropriate for the gym, go home and change. Acceptable. Acceptable. I just
He's
did a check
around
first.
The room.
Yeah?
Okay.
Absolutely. Anyway, that's that. I just thought I'd bring in a little bit of that.
All cool. Right. Thank you, Rich. Very good. There we go. Rich Mulholland and a quick look at the things that are annoying him this week that he can help us with. Stick around because in a short while we speak to Fikile Mbalula, the Minister of Sport. He's flying off to Rio for the Paralympic Games. And we'll also check in with Michael Tellinger, who has some interesting stories to tell us about our own past that we probably don't know. This guy is very interesting. He knows all about Ubuntu and contributionism, which is how he thinks the economy would be best served. And he's written four books on all kinds of interesting things. They call him the real-life Indiana Jones. So plenty of stuff to get excited about there. 8 o'clock is the time. Clipcentral.com, touchcentral.fm. Get on it, baby. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. Spread the word. Get out there. Tell the people. Clipcentral.com.